128th Psalm. Psalm 128. We're going to read the entirety of that psalm. There's only six verses. 128th Psalm. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. We want to look for a while this morning on the thought of fathers, seeing it is Father's Day. And we want to start off by saying a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and unappreciated many times in all humanity. Now, there are a lot of funny stories about fathers. I'm sure all of us can recollect something our father used to say. But one time a little boy was asked to define Father's Day. And he said, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present. And the greatest number of long-distance phone calls is made on Mother's Day. Now, the largest number of collect calls is made on Father's Day. Now, fathers have a favorite sayings. Go ask your mother. Just wait till I get home. When I was your age, I used to walk to school in the snow. One of the favorites is, I'm busy right now. And then there's this little story I read. The father of five children had won a toy at a raffle. He called his children together and asked him, which of them should have the present? He said, who is the most obedient among you? Who never talks back to their mother? Who does everything she says? Five small voices answered in unison, okay, Dad, you get the toy. A person said, I gave my father $100 and said, buy yourself something that will make your life easier. So he went out and bought a present for my mother. The idea for creating a day for children to honor their fathers began in Spokane, Washington. A woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd thought of the idea of Father's Day. She did it while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Having been raised by her father after her mother died, Sonora wanted her father to know how special that he was to her. It was her father that made all the perennial sacrifices, amen, and was, in the eyes of his daughter, a courageous, selfless, and loving man. Her father was born in June, so she chose to hold the first Father's Day celebration in Spokane, Washington, on the 19th of June, 1910. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge proclaimed the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. Roses are the Father's Day flowers, red to be worn for a living father, and white if the father has passed away. We read a poem about fathers, and we want to share it with you. It said that he's a mender of toys. He's a leader of boys. He's a changer of fuses. He's a kisser of bruises. Bless him, O Lord, mover of couches, soother of ouches, pounder of nails, teller of tales, reward him, O Lord. He's a hanger of screens, counselor of teens, fixer of bikes, chastiser of tykes. Help him, O Lord. He's a raker of leaves, cleaner of eaves, dryer of dishes, fulfiller of wishes. Bless him, O Lord. Then I heard about this little girl, before we really get into this message, who walked out of service after it was over, and she had a conversation with the pastor as the pastor greeted ones on the way out. And she said, when I grow up, you've heard this before, she said, I'm going to give you some money. And the pastor said, well, thank you, dear. I appreciate that, but why? She said, because my dad said you're the poorest preacher we've ever had. Now, we want to look at a father in the Old Testament that we could use as an example for us this morning. Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua 24, verse 14. Joshua 24, 14 says this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people to whom we passed. And the people drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. And if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen ye the Lord to serve him. And he said, we are witnesses. At the age of 110, Joshua summoned the leaders of Israel to Shechem for a farewell address. And he charged them. He said, obey the Lord who had fought for them and given them an inheritance. He warned them of the danger of apostasy by saying, choose you this day whom you will serve. As Joshua spoke, he did so with authority of experience. For he had walked with Moses for 40 years and led Israel in the conquest of Canaan, amen, for another 25 years. He reinforced his appeal, with the power of a good example before the people. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It has been said that a boy loves his mother, but will follow his father. The godly father is also a man of prayer. He goes to God often on behalf of his family asking for wisdom, courage for himself, and protection for his wife and also his children. Job is an example. Job, the first chapter, just one verse. Verse 5 says this. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Early in the morning, he would offer a burnt offering for each one of them. And he said, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Joshua was a man with a backbone, and that was evident at the city of Kadesh Barnea. When he was in minority, just him and Caleb standing 2 against 10, he never wavered, neither did he ever recant. He stood against the pressure of the other tribal leaders and stayed true to the promises of God. Now, as a father, I ask this question to you fathers that stood this morning. Have you stayed true to the promises of God? Abraham also was a spiritual leader of the home. When he spoke for the family. He acknowledged his responsibility for the spiritual life of his family. He spoke for his family and he declared their intent. Now I know mothers have a strong influence over their children, but fathers should still be the guide in spiritual worship. Genesis 18 chapter, verse 19 says this. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. He said, for I know him. Not only by his knowledge, but with a particular, with a special knowledge, a love, a peculiar love and affection. God loved Abraham. And as he seemed like a peculiar favorite of his, and therefore he revealed his secrets unto him. God knew not only who he was, but what he was. Abraham was a holy man. He also knew that he would command, amen, his children and his household after him to serve and worship the Lord. But not his own children only, but his servants also, all that was part of his family. He would use his authority with them, give them all needful instructions, and take such message with them, amen, as would tend to propagate and preserve the true religion after his death. I ask you, fathers, this morning, are you the leader in your household? If not, that could be some of your troubles if you're having any. God said, I know him. And what he knew about Abraham was good. So good that he was going to reveal to him the judgment he was going to place on Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was called a friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20:7 says, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Our Father. There's a lot of things that could be said about a father. There's a lot of stories about fathers. But a father is to be a provider. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That word work means to toil, to labor. Also, the word means employment. Not just sitting at home and live on welfare and let the wife do the work. A man that would do that, in my opinion, is a lazy bum. And he shouldn't even eat. But he's probably the biggest eater in the household. Fathers, does a family ever see you take a Bible in your hand? Do they ever see you lead in prayer? Do they ever see you do the Sunday school lesson with them? A little girl with shining eyes and face all aglow said, Daddy, it's almost time for Sunday school. Let's go. They teach us there of Jesus' love and how he died that we might all have everlasting life by trusting in him. Oh no, said Daddy, not today. I've worked so hard all the week. I'm going to the woods and then to the creek. There I can relax. There I can rest. I must have one day to rest. Fishing is fine, they say. So run along. Don't bother me. We'll go to church some other day. Months and years have passed, but Daddy hears that plea, no more. Let's go to Sunday school. Those childish years are over. And when Daddy is grown old, when life is almost through, he then finds time to go to church. But what does daughter do? She said, oh, Daddy, not today. I stayed up almost all last night, and I've got to get some sleep. Let's move on. If a father has boys, his children, he should teach them how to work, and he should teach them to work. A man, when he marries, amen, when a man marries, he should be able to support his wife. I seen one hand go up, Brother Brewer. He should be able to support his wife. When we got married, we was not saved. But I would not let my wife ever work. I would work two jobs before I'd have her work one job. That should be taken into consideration before you say, I do. Now, the scripture says won't work. It didn't say couldn't work. Amen. There are exceptions. A man is injured. He's sick. He's handicapped. And I want to repeat, when a young lady marries, one thing she should consider. Will she have to work to support the family? Will the day nursery wind up raising her children and taking care of her children? Will relatives have to take care of the children while the mother's working? I'm a firm believer, and the Bible also, that the man is to be the one supporting the family. The wife is to be a keeper at home. Maybe you won't have all the fineries that ones have in their later years. Maybe you have to get along with one car. It's amazing what you can do. Maybe you won't even have an automatic dishwasher. Might not have the modern day appliances. But God has a way of taking little and making it stretch so your needs are taken care of. We got married. My wife had 12 of diapers, and they were cloth. They didn't have 3 or 4 dozen. Amen, of Pampers lying around somewhere. 12 cloth. Amen. But God took care of us. We was able, amen, to make that function just as well as having plenty. God has a way of taking, I want to say, just a little bit. Like I say, when you get married, don't expect to have all the fineries you have when you're getting ready to retire. Amen. And young ladies who are not yet old enough to marry, when you do marry, make sure you consider their maturity and their spirituality. That's the one you're considering on spending your life with, so you want to do your best with God's help. Choose one you don't have to fight with the rest of your married life and have contention over serving God. Young ladies and young men, when somebody comes to the altar, amen, and they maybe have had a problem, whatever it is, everybody comes to the altar has had problems, give them a chance, amen, to mature and grow before you start pouncing on them. Give them a chance. Give them a chance to, amen, get their needs supplied, maintain victory. Amen. Don't let it, don't, amen. Don't distract their mind from victory to you. Amen. When I got married, I was a little older than my wife, 1 year. But I wasn't as mature or grown up as my wife was. She was ready to be a wife. She knew how to keep house. She knew how to take care of children, fix a meal, and make the home look real nice. I was unprepared to grasp the big step of marriage. Amen. But she was, amen. But she was ready to, amen, ready to step right into that. But I want to repeat, the husband is to be the provider. He's a protector, and he's the leader in worship and a teacher of good things for the home. Does God know good things about you this morning, fathers? Does God know that you're a leader in spirituality in the home? Could God reveal to you his plans for your home? Are you close enough to God that he actually communes with you? Like Job, if you have children, do you pray for them? Amen, that they'll have a successful life serving God. That God would keep them in their daily walk. Now, to really have a home, there needs to be both a father, male, and mother, female. Away with this sinful garbage of two men and two women. There needs to be a real father image in a home. Amen. And there needs to be a real mother image in the home. This other teaching that's going on today did not come out of the Word of God. Nowhere, nowhere in the Word of God did you see where God ever blessed two males or two females get married. Nowhere. Bring me the scripture. I don't care if the United States government is full of it, of all that, amen, perversion. God's word sets it straight. And if you want to know how marriage should be, go right to the beginning. Right back to the beginning. See how God performed the first marriage. He brought the female to the male. Amen. And each one has their function in the home. Amen. Psalm 78, verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Fathers, all fathers, God has commanded us to teach our children and to point our children to God so that our children may have confidence in God and keep his commandments. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, one verse, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons. The New Testament tells us the same thing. Ephesians 6 and 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in their training and admonition in the Lord. That word translated admonition means put something into their mind. It also means give good advice. You are to be putting something into the minds of your children. Namely, the Word of God. Godly influences in a home build a wall of protection around the household. The home should be a place of religious training, discipline, government. And let me say something else about the home. In the home, you want to be careful running down the pastor or somebody else in the church. Look at how many grandchildren, great-grandchildren have been affected today just because of the tongue. You can't get them to darken the doors of the Church of God. They just flip around any place they want to flip around. They want to go to church, all right. They want to go to a ball game, all right. They have no confidence. Why? Because of the wagging tongue in the home. If you've got something to say about something in the church services, make sure you don't wag that tongue in front of your children. Amen. But I read 9 good qualities of a father. Number 1, he's protective. A good dad protects his children by drawing clear boundaries, considers their best interests, talks to them about things they should be aware of, puts things in place. He teaches his children about consequences of making wrong choices. Fathers instill character development in their children. He's protective, he's affectionate. A good father is affectionate to his children. Though he may not hug and kiss a child like a mother does, his affection is no less than a mother's. And he lets the children know they can count on him. He's a wall of trust and security. The children believe that their father is always right. He'll never lie to them. He'll never betray them. He'll never leave them in a lurch. Amen. They build trust. A good father builds trust. Amen. In a child. The children know that their father is always here whenever they want some help or whenever they are in trouble. What else is there about a father? He's a source of encouragement. Amen. You are the source of encouragement to your children. Be it a school function or a debate competition, your presence at the venue gives a boost to your child's confidence. You are the happiest when they succeed, and you are the one who will make them strive better if they fail. Your words will make a world of difference to your child. Your words have the power to make or break them. What else? He has patience with his children. A good father takes out time to listen to their children. He gives his children undivided attention and tries to understand things from their perspective. Provides the necessities of life. Amen. Provides all the necessities. As the head of the family, the father's responsible for giving a decent living for his children, a home, food, education, love, security, and attention. And also, spending time with the father is fun for the children. If the dad's at home, it's a fun time for children. He plays with them, shares some tricks and shortcuts, makes their artwork easy and their homework enjoyable. He involves them in the things that he likes to do. Laptops and phones, amen, are actually put aside. Fathers are the best teachers. A father teaches lessons not just for academics, but about life. He shows how children can channelize their emotions when met with failure or disappointment, how they can use their energy, amen, for the good, how they can plan their careers, amen, or study hours. But I want to add a 10th one. A father is a spiritual leader in the home. And the home is where the father can, and the children, amen, amen. The father can teach the children good manners, obedience, and good work ethics. And it's in the home that a father can talk about God. Talk about what God likes. Talk about what God dislikes. May even read some Bible stories to their children. Fathers, when you leave this world, you can leave behind a rich legacy. We're going to leave behind something in the memory of others. They're going to remember us or something about us when we leave this world. Maybe we won't leave them dollars and cents. But we can leave them a good Christian example and godly influence. This is a legacy not too many people strive for. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And I ask all the fathers here this morning, does God have confidence in you as a head of that household? Proverbs 17 and 6, as we close, says this: children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers.